turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. It isn't my thought to go into detail with regard to these verses we've read. Precious as they are, but there's one expression around which I would like to a group remarks, and that is in the ninth verse, the expression in and out. And I think that as we can connect other scriptures with it, we will find that which will be for our encouragement, our joy in the Lord, and also that it may be for our exercise. Now in these verses we find the Lord Jesus speaking of sheep. Now we know that sheep are those foolish creatures that need to be guided. And for their safety, they need to be enclosed. So the Lord speaks here of the sheep and the sheepfold. We read of sheep in the Old Testament and of how that they were put into the sheepfold and the shepherd guarded them. And the Lord Jesus speaks of the shepherd, or rather the Old Testament speaks of the shepherd who was to come. And there were many who claimed to be shepherds. You find the prophet speaks of the one who may yet come, who will yet come, the idle shepherd, the false shepherd. Oh, there are many false shepherds. But the Lord speaks of the one who came in through the door, and he himself alone was a shepherd that came through the door. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And in looking over these verses, a thought came to me in connection with verse 3. To him the porter openeth. The porter, I believe, we understand is the Spirit of God. Opening up the scriptures, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Might just stop there for a moment. If we were to turn to the first chapter of this same gospel, we would find there that the Lord came into this world He came to his own, and his own received him not. Solemn, is it? He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Yes. When he came into this world, he came to his own nation, and there were those who didn't receive him. They heard his voice, but they didn't receive him. But then, oh, how precious it speaks. In the end of that verse, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The enclosure in which Israel found itself, of course, as we understand, was the holy law which God had given to his people. They were enclosed, they were circumscribed by the commandments of God. But now the Lord Jesus has come, and those who could have been his own, they rejected him. And now there are those who have heard his voice and have responded to his voice, and he leads his own sheep out. Oh, how wonderful it is. He takes them out from that enclosure. He brings them out into a large place, into the place of liberty. Now that, I believe, is what we have found by believing in the Lord Jesus, our salvation, that we have been brought into the liberty of the sons of God. And the Lord Jesus said that he came in order they might have life, they might have it abundantly. Yes, that they might have life abundantly. The end of that glorious liberty. But oh, when he goeth, when he putteth them out, he goes before them. Blessed fact, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And we might ask as we go on, does everyone here hear the voice of the Lord Jesus? Does he know you by name? Are you one of his? Do you delight to hear his voice? We've just been hearing about one of old and how he was a man of faith, and he was in the habit of obeying the voice of his God. Are you and I in the habit of obeying the voice of our Lord Jesus, the voice of God? All we have in the Word of God, that which we need for every step of our pathway through this scene. God in his grace has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he has made provision for us that we need never fall. How wonderful it is to know that. The sheep, his sheep, hear his voice, and they follow him. And then in the seventh verse, the Lord Jesus speaks of himself now as the door of the sheep. No longer the sheepfold of Israel, no longer those that were encompassed by commandments, but no, now, as we know from other scriptures, the Lord Jesus had become a center for his own. The one around whom they may gather, not the fence around them, but the one who is the center. The one who alone is the attraction for his people. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. And now the ninth verse. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, the glorious liberty into which the child of God has been brought. No longer hemmed in by the law. But oh, we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if our hearts are true to Him, they will delight in doing His will. What is our delight? What do we find pleasure in doing here in this scene while we're here waiting for the voice of our Lord Jesus? Is it to do the will of our Lord Jesus, to please Him? Or is it to please ourselves? Oh, what a difference it makes. And it's a good test to know when we want to do something. What is the purpose for which I wish to do this or that? Is it for my own sake? Or is it because it's the will of my Lord Jesus? I want to do something which will be pleasing to Him. The scripture has been given to us concerning certain patriarchs of old and how that they had the witness in themselves that they pleased God. What a wonderful thing that is to have the witness that I am pleasing God. Enoch had it. Enoch lived in a world which no doubt was very much like the world around us today. A wicked, wicked world. And Enoch was the one who proclaimed that behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. He was coming to execute judgment. And Enoch had that witness that he, walking in the midst of those around him who were wicked men deserving judgment, and it says he had that witness that he pleased God. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is to know that our pathway down here in this world, our thoughts, our speech, our actions are actually pleasing to Him. So may it be so with us. We own how much we fail. And yet, He knows the heart. He knows whether we desire to please Him or not. But here we find one. We find the sheep having received salvation. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. You know, when we're saved, God doesn't leave us to our own devices to find our own way here. No. Psalmist David, King David, knew all about that. And so he could write that wonderful psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yeah. He had proven that the Lord was just as good as He had said. And the Lord will never be a debtor to you and me. If we, by the grace of God, have put our faith in Him, God is going to take care of us for the rest of our time down here in this world. He's going to give us the sustenance. He's going to give us the refreshing which we need as we go through a dry and thirsty land. The children of Israel, as they went from Egypt to Canaan, a mighty throng of people, and yet they went through that desert for 40 years. They were fed by the manna which came from heaven. Their thirst was quenched by the water which came out of the rock. The care of God for his earthly people. But how much more the care which God exercises toward his own, purchased with the precious blood of his own Son. God has given us all that we need to carry us safely home to the glory. And that for his glory too. But he shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, I know it's good to go in. It's good to get into the presence of our Lord Jesus. It's good to be there. There was one who was in the presence of our Lord Jesus. We won't take time to turn to the scripture. But as we know in Luke 10, the Lord Jesus went into the little town of Bethany, and there were those there, two sisters, who wanted to entertain the Lord Jesus. Martha, apparently the head of the household, she was cumbered with much serving. Oh, she wanted to do the very best she could for the Lord. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus and heard his words. And the Lord Jesus says to Martha on her complaint, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Mary was feeding upon the words of the Lord Jesus. She was entering into his thoughts, and I'm sure his thoughts centered around those who were his own and herself included. And when we learn what the Lord Jesus' thoughts are concerning you and me, how it draws out the affections of our hearts for him, because he has manifested the infinite, immeasurable love of God to you and me, and his words express. Mary sat at his feet. There was another occasion when she was also at his feet. There we find Mary just a few days before the Lord Jesus was crucified. We find her there, not sitting at his feet and hearing his words, but thinking of him and his near coming death. She took that alabaster box of ointment, poured it upon his feet. And it says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary had gone in to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. And she had come out now expressing the fragrance that she had found in the Lord Jesus. And the odor filled the whole house. The Lord Jesus wasn't the only one who benefited from it. All that was meant for him alone. But all those that were there partook of the fragrance of that which Mary had done. Oh, how wonderful it is. And some of us here this morning, we're remembering the Lord in his death. Thinking of him as to that which he has accomplished for us. Of all that he went through. Yes, praise went up to him and to God. Why? Oh, because there were those, and I trust the hearts of each one here were like-minded, because there were those who had been in the presence of our Lord Jesus and learning of him, feeding upon him, and so be able to come on an occasion like this morning to offer up to him that which is due to his name. And that, dear fellow believer, is worship. Giving to him that which is due to him. How blessed it is to be able to give to him in return for what he has done for you and for me. So it is going in and then coming out again. Mary had done that. Oh, we could speak of others. There was a time when the Lord Jesus went down into Samaria and he met there a poor woman, a sinner. And there the Lord Jesus spoke to her. We might just turn to John 4. And verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The Lord Jesus is offering to this poor woman that which would be in her a well of water. Yeah. He promised her that the water that he gave would be in her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And it touched her heart. And we find that as the Lord led her on, that she reached that point where she was able to say, Come see a man who has told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She had received that well, that received that living water. She found blessing for her own soul. She wanted others to share it. But the water was within her. And there was that refreshing soul that she would never, never thirst again. Oh, a wonderful it is to be satisfied with our Lord Jesus. To be satisfied, not to want anything more. God has nothing more to give us than the gift of His own beloved Son. And all that we have, all the blessings which we have, are in Him. How wonderful it is. So we find here the well of water within this woman. But then we turn to the 7th chapter of John, and we find something else. Verse 37. Here in this chapter we find the Lord Jesus having gone up to Jerusalem at that great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the people had been there for 7 days, apparently finding nothing to satisfy their souls. Nothing was there. Those feasts which had been feasts of the Lord in the Old Testament, the Feast of Jehovah, had now become Feast of the Jews. And so in the 37th verse, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." After 7 days of feasting, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Oh, there's nothing down here in this scene to satisfy the soul. Nothing. Unless we come to our Lord Jesus and find satisfaction in Him. Not a thing. "He that believeth on me," the scripture has said, "out of his belly shall flow rivers." But this speaking of the Spirit, that they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, here it is not a well of water springing up into everlasting life, but is that which by the Spirit of God flows out. Joy in the soul, flowing out in blessing, not only to oneself, but also to others. There's a going in, there's a coming out. Oh, it must be so that there is the coming out if there has been that being in the presence of our Lord Jesus. That poor woman in the 4th chapter, she had come to the well alone, and the Lord Jesus was there alone. He has sent his disciples away into the city to buy bread. But all the purpose in his heart was that here was this poor woman who needed salvation. One who knew she was a sinner. And the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria in order to meet her. So the two of them together, the Lord Jesus is able to bless that precious soul. Then we find the Lord Jesus saying concerning himself to his disciples when they came back, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Joy in the heart of the Lord Jesus over this poor sinner repenting. But oh, when it comes to the 7th chapter, there is that joy which comes in coming to the Lord Jesus, having turned away from all that this world has to offer, this religious world, if you please, turning to the Lord Jesus. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So the Lord Jesus speaks of that blessed portion which we have in receiving through faith in him, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which would be given to those that believed on him. A wonderful idea that we have this for ourselves. We can enjoy it now. Yes, we can enjoy it. But may we be assured of this one thing, that God must have his portion first. God must have his portion first. There must be the going in into the presence of God. It must be God first. It was so with the children of Israel of old. When they entered into the land, they were to bring to God the first fruits of the land. Before they ever ate any of the fruit which they had raised, they were to bring something to God. Bring in the first fruits. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. And it shall be when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Now shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish with my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous, and so on. 10th verse. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. God must have his portion. They were to bring to God the first fruit of the land. Oh, how God desires to have that. Not that we give him what's left over, you know, after we've satisfied our own selves. But God first, and you and I come after. Oh, may it be so with us. And when we come to gather around the precious Lord Jesus Christ, gathered unto his name, may it be that we come there to offer to him that which has been given to us. I'm speaking of spiritual gifts, spiritual sacrifices. Oh, it's true that God delights in cheerful givers. But oh, how he delights in the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Have we used up through the week all our energy, and we come into the presence of our Lord Jesus with empty baskets? You know, when the Israelites brought the basket to the priest, to the altar. It had to be gathered ahead of time. He didn't gather it as he came. It was to be gathered and then brought. And how wonderful it is that we can, by the grace of God, be found gathering throughout the week of those precious things of Christ, so that when we come to remember our Lord in his death, to have there that which we can present to him, the fragrance that is due to his name. There was a day which came later in the history of Israel when they would go out and sow their seed. They'd go out with a bushel and they'd bring back a peck. Yes. The land didn't yield to them what it should. Why? Oh, because they hadn't brought to God that which was his first. They hadn't done it. So the Lord has to remind the people in the days of Malachi that they were to give to him first. Then he says, see, if I won't pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. Yes, God delights to bless, but God delights also in having his people present to him that which is due to himself. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. All malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones, lively stones, I built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, the peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him which called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter is speaking to those who had been born again by the word of God, that word of God which endures forever. He says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now he desires that those who have been born again by the word of God, that they grow. He desires growth in the believer. The last words which Peter has recorded for us, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether it be as newborn babes or whether it be as those who have gone through the whole pathway down here in this world. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow. We will never stop growing as long as we're here in this scene. That is, if we go on in the path of obedience. Oh, you know, there are those that sometimes are stunted. And when we see a youngster that is stunted in growth, we say there's something wrong. Something wrong with that person. He doesn't have the right diet. Oh, that we may have the Word of God as our food to sustain us while we're here in this scene, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. As newborn babes, he says, desire the pure, the unadulterated milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have we found him so? Oh, if we're his, we found it to be so. Now he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. There's a building going on in the scene. The building of God. We find it spoken of in another place in the epistle to the Ephesians, of that building, that habitation of God through the Spirit. Down here in the scene is also that temple, that glorious temple which is growing. That which will be completed when the Lord Jesus comes for his own. And here is that stone, that cornerstone. We had occasion of speaking of this not very long ago in another connection. But here is that cornerstone, cast aside by men as worthless. They didn't see the value of that stone, but chosen of God and precious. Precious to whom? Precious to God. Is he precious to you? Oh, may we not, those of us who are the Lord's, ever lose the preciousness which is in Christ. May he ever be found more increasingly precious to us. Now he says, ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. What for? Oh, to offer up sacrifices to God. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, God delights in hearing our voices, lisping though they may be, stammering tongues, yet he delights in hearing us speak well and speaking to him of the worth of our Lord Jesus. Spiritual sacrifices. Oh, that can only be done in the presence of God. We go in as holy priests, as a holy priesthood. We go in into the very presence of God, and there we have the privilege of telling him of how much our Lord Jesus means, not only to me, but to speak of the infinite worth of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus. Oh, God values the person of our Lord Jesus. He's given him a name which is above every name. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess him Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, that we who have owned him as our Lord, that we might have our tongues expressing in reality the worth of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a sure cornerstone. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded or ashamed. In the end of the sixth verse. And the seventh verse says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, that searches the heart. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, there are those who were disobedient. There were those who saw no value in that stone. They set it aside. And they're going to find out someday soon that that stone is one that God has valued above every other. And all values are measured by the value of the blessed name of our Lord Jesus to God his Father. Now in the ninth verse, having gone in to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, he says, now ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, the peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, dear fellow believer, having learned and having entered into the preciousness of the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, how it should fill the heart, so that when we come out of the presence of our Lord Jesus, oh, how our hearts should be overflowing and to be able to express to those around us something of the worth of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, may it be that we delight to speak of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That light which reveals everything. And for you and for me who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, that light shining reveals that everything has been taken away. Every bit of darkness has been taken away. Yeah. The light reveals that all is gone, all is in perfection in the eyes of God. But how is it? Oh, it's in the value of the work of Christ. It's all because of him. And he desires that we should go out and show forth the praises of him. Called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Just one more instant we might speak of in this connection, and we go back to 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, I believe it is. To pass when the king sat in his house, that is David, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. See, our time is almost gone. I believe we know the story, and how that the Lord sent word back by Nathan that David was not to to build a temple for the Lord. But his son would be the one, Solomon would be the one to build that temple. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which will proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish the kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and so on. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, when I put away, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Verse 18. Then went King David in, sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And we find that David, he praises God for his grace to him, the marvelous grace of God to the man that he has set up to be king over his people, the man after God's own heart. David sits in the presence of God, and he rejoices in what God has done for him. He went in before God. Now turn to the 9th chapter. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? I believe what we have here is the fruit of what we have in the 7th chapter. God had been gracious to David. He has shown his love and his kindness to him. And now it comes out in David expressing that same kindness of God to those who were his enemies. Oh, marvelous is the grace of God, that which he has given to us, that which he has bestowed upon us. And when we get into his presence and we enter into all that he has done for us, oh, how we delight in speaking of it to others. Well, may it be so with us, that we may, by the grace of God, be found in his presence and then going out and show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.